I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Makes me laugh every time. Hey, by the way, Carl, while we're having some fun, at the expense of our coworkers, I posted a picture of some listener already put up from Mike Bell ATL. It's Randy and Andy, or Andy Randy, doing one of those messages that you and I in the morning show taped for the Hawks games during some timeouts, right, at the arena at State Farm. Yeah. Well, Randy, of course, true to form, is not smiling. So on Twitter, I wrote, "Come on, smile, Randy. We will pay the ransom." Hashtag hostage video.
He's not smiling. Why not? What's going on?
Well, at least on the free on the frame that was frozen, he's not. So I'm sure he smiles later. I'm sure he does.
Hey, man! Somebody also put Andy's face on that. You were talking about who was it last night?
Kyle Kuzma in the $1,600 ridiculous sweater. Yeah.
They put Andy's face on there, and they had Randy in the background looking at him like, "What the hell are you doing?" It's the funniest thing. By the way, follow us, guys. Mike Bell ATL. I mean, put them up. See Dukes and Hugh. I'm not calling you black anything. Okay. Not going to do it. Dukes and Bell 929. That is, our Twitter, and follow this radio station at 929 The Game. We're going to talk to a former general manager, Randy Mueller, coming up here in about 15 minutes. We'll get his opinions on what's going on. And, you know, listen, the Giants, Mike, you said this as we've been talking about this today. If you're just joining us, a couple of things. If you just joined us, you heard us talking about James Franklin getting a 10-year extension at Penn State. So take his name off the list. But the other thing today that has happened is Jason Garrett was fired after last night. Giants lose to Tampa Bay. He was the offensive coordinator. And you were talking about, you know, teams being in a similar situation that we are, not from a firing standpoint. You're talking about from a personnel.
Yeah, just personnel.
And the team.
Right. Giants have got about four guys that any other team would want, right? And one of them is not their quarterback. And I don't know what Saquon Barkley is now. We talked about it about this time last hour with Steve Weiss from NFL Network, also working with the Falcons website. I mean, Saquon Barkley was one of the top five players in the NFL. And now I don't even know what he is. You know, how the Giants use him. Do they not have faith in him? I know they gave him a one-on-one opportunity in the flat, and he basically just did a juke and whoosh, got that's laid out by one of the defenders of the Bucs. So when you start to look, well, who are the players, you know, on the Giants other teams would actually spend money on? There's not many. And as you and I have said, we've got obviously Grady, Debo, A.J. Terrell, Matt Ryan. You know, there's just, you know, Calvin Ridley, but he's not out there. You know, Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, obviously rookie Pitts is we're still establishing him. But, you know, when you've only got four or five really good difference makers, as you would say, Michael Irvin Carl was a playmaker.
Playmakers, yeah.
And Giants don't have that. And then you throw in coaching staff that doesn't utilize what little talent they've got, and there you have it.
So Falcons preparing, guys, for Jacksonville on Sunday. Now, we're going to talk to Coach tomorrow. Coach Arthur Smith will stop by for his regular visit, 5 o'clock. Make sure you're here. We'll find out, you know, what he's trying to do differently as we turn the page on that ugly Thursday night game. And that's all you can do. But the biggest question mark, Mike, is are any of these guys coming back? Are we going to see Calvin Ridley potentially? Are we going to see Cordarrelle Patterson? That's really the question for me, because if the answer is no, then I don't know what magic you're pulling out.
Yeah, I know that we've got to get Cordarrelle Patterson has got to be out there. I'll be honest with you, even to beat you can't say lowly Jaguars because they're still an NFL team. And Carl, how many times in the last 2 weeks now, all season long, anyone can beat anyone? Yes, on any given Sunday, we're seeing it more than ever because of injuries, COVID, teams that are hot or cold. Perceiving Buffalo Bills have gone from the best team that I thought to like I don't even know what these guys are. So Jacksonville is still a team we cannot take for granted. And everything you said, what was the longest pass play from Trevor Lawrence last week was 22 yards. But if you give him 5 seconds, he'll find a way to get that ball down. Field even further.
Yeah, no doubt. We will talk to Coach tomorrow at 5 o'clock. So I can't wait to hear what he has to say. And hopefully, you know, these guys, listen, we're looking for them to respond. The Cowboys thing was ugly. You turn right back around, short week, no, you know, dynamic playmaker and Patterson on the field. And you saw how that played out. Give the defense credit. Mike and I have been saying this. And Mike, I want you to go through this again before we get to the top three about the sacks, because the defense held the Patriots, and I know nobody wants to talk about it because it was ugly and it was a beatdown, but to 13 points for a majority of that game, basically for three quarters, and the offense couldn't do anything. And then today, Chuck Smith came on, and we were talking about all the things that happened in the NFL, and Mike said, listen, we may have the worst sack record or you know, right. as far as the Falcons are concerned, in the history of the team, when we at the end of the year, if we don't get our sack numbers up.
Yeah, the lowest number for the Falcons, by the way. And I don't count the strike years, the year the Scabs played in 87, the replacement players. That was only 19. But the regular – in 14-game season, Carl, of 1967, the Falcons only had 21 sacks. I mean, when you go back – or second year of expansion was 66. 67, we had 21 sacks. We'll need 7 sacks. We'll average a sack a game in the remaining 7 games to equal, not surpass, but equal the second year of the franchise when it was just a 14-game season. So that just shows you how inept our pass rush is. We are the lowest, we're the worst team in the NFL in getting the quarterback on the ground. Only close to us are the Lions. They've actually got one more sack. We're actually going to see the Lions. God, if we lose to the Lions, brother. But anyway, we're going to see the Lions in December. We've only got 14 sacks, and we've only got 4 interceptions. Only the Jets are worse in that department as far as turnovers, as far as INTs. So yeah. Basically, your defense is giving you nothing. Although we can't kill them because they actually did their job. They wrote you yeah. actually pulled you called this. You said they will look in the mirror. There are players out there that are not going to get smoked, humiliated 2 weeks in a row, and 2 of those last touchdowns given up against the Patriots because, you know, we're turning the ball over with picks. Defense did its job last week, but overall, Carl, we just know there's no playmakers on that defense save for Grady and AJ Terrell.
Yeah, and if you asked me right now, if I had to put money on it, and I don't, will we get 7 or 8 sacks before the? That's a sack a game. I mean, we've gone 3 games in stretches where we haven't had any sacks.
87, we had 19 sacks, but 3 of those games we didn't take the replacement serious like the way the Washington football team did it that year.
Sure,
you know, so it's. It's either way. It's just it shows the ineptitude we've had in pass rush. And a lot of guys get where we're coming from on this. It goes back to, unfortunately, and sooner or later we can start pointing fingers at Terry Fontenot, but right now I'm just pointing fingers directly at Thomas Dimitroff because he built this disaster.
Yeah, that's what we've been saying. How? Let's get to the top 3.
It's time for the top 3 at 6.
Top 3 at 6.
Now let's see what we have here.
Oh, let's start first with Kirby Smart. He was asked about Dan Mullen being let go at Florida. And with all due respect, Kirby was respectful.
At the end of the day, I hate it for Dan because I think Dan's a good person. And it's a tough situation. But it's a profession we chose to be in, and I know Dan will be fine. He'll be perfectly fine.
Okay. And he's right. There are rumors out there about Mullen maybe going to the NFL. We'll see. You know, with the success that Cliff Kingsbury's had now, Mike, I think you might see teams making the taking a chance to grab a college coach.
I know that some guys, you know, they just I know a lot of Florida fans just never really felt Dan Mullen the vibe. But when you can go to a place like Stark Vegas, right? You go to Mississippi State, Carl, and have that team in the top 5. You can coach football. You might not, you know, be the best guy, the warm and fuzzy with the alumni. And one thing about the NFL, recruiting, if he doesn't like it, and he certainly has shown the ability to do it at times, but recruiting is not a part of that job description. So a dude goes from the first place in the SEC East to out on his butt. But he did win 10 games at Mississippi State in a couple of years where he won 9 games at Mississippi State. So I still wouldn't rule out the college game for him, but you think a pro team gives him a shot?
I think so. I think he remember he had that weird, you know, those weird comments about college football, where it was going, and he wasn't sure if he wanted to be a part of it and all of that stuff. I think that was kind of his message about if a pro team comes calling, I'd be willing to listen to him. Meanwhile, Nate McMillan talking about his team in the third quarter last night. Guys, Hawks have run off 5 in a row. They're off today. They'll take on the Spurs tomorrow on the road. You'll listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear Coach Nate.
I thought it was great. Adjustments. And we really didn't make any adjustments. I thought our guys just locked in and started to play defense. We started to get pressure on the basketball. We did a better job of keeping the ball in front of us and not allowing them to break us down. And we was able to establish our defense.
So playing D, it starts with the D, is the key. And honestly, Coach is not lying. I mean, it's collectively. It's not one guy, but I think that's one of the reasons why if you went back and looked at the tape on all 5 of these games, they played better defense down the stretch of these games, Mike. And, you know, a couple of these games, they got close in the fourth quarter, and then the Hawks just took it away.
Yeah, man. I think that the Hawks certainly are going to have to play better. I mean, we'll be watching what they do on the road, but they're a team that is certainly realizing that, okay, the regular season is here, and you don't just immediately fast forward. I think, as we learned from what Trey said earlier, two weeks ago, yeah, these regular season games are a grind. But that's a game that's a perfect trip-up game against an Oklahoma City team, which is probably going nowhere this year, right?
Yeah.
But they stepped up. Little sluggish, three-point shooting was a little eh. And then Trey, after getting other guys involved, said, I'll take it from here, 21 points in the second half. And I just think that is where Nate and being cool. And by the way, Nate just passed Red Holtzman, I think, for like 17th on the all-time wins list in the NBA. We missed that one. How cool is that?
That is neat. I mean, listen, we forget how long he's been coaching.
Right.
In the league. I mean, you know, I told you guys when he got the job, everybody wants to talk about what happened in Indianapolis. I mean, he took a team, you know, to the cusp of the NBA Finals when he was with Seattle before they ultimately moved to Oklahoma City. And then all those years in Indiana. So he can coach, man. We know that now. It's Dukes and Bell here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Randy Mueller coming up as we'll talk some NFL with him here in about 10 minutes. Mike, what about Coach Arthur Smith? He says, listen, we are what we are, and we got to find a way to get it done.
At the end of the day, we're 4-6 with a very, really important game for us this week. And so we've got to do everything we can. We'll see as the week goes on who's healthy, who's up. And we got to put together a good plan, and we got to go down there and execute it.
And hopefully that's the case. Now, what's the plan? I have no idea.
Well, if Cordero Patterson doesn't go, it is Alamide Zaccheaus, Russell Gage, Tajay Sharp. You know, it's just, you know, it's just, do you have the playmakers? Now, the Jacksonville Jaguars are not that good. We know that. But they also found a way, as we said. I'll say it again, okay? $5 fine any given Sunday. They beat Buffalo, for crying out loud. Made Buffalo look bad at home. So we got to obviously be able to execute, or we're going to look bad as well.
Yeah.
We've been outscored 68-3.
Tajay Sharp, all these, they're complimentary pieces, Mike. These guys aren't starting wide receivers in the league. They're not. If they were, they would have been starting already. That's my problem. Like, I'm trying to pump guys up that realistically should be guys that should be thrown or targeted a couple of times a game, depending on the game plan. You're telling me you're going into the game to target a guy 12, 15 times? Come on. I'm having a hard time with that.
Right. And the other thing, something I'm starting to think about now, because I just kind of mentioned it, is, you know, what's going on with these picks? Okay, we're now into like the 10th, 11th week of the season. We know what we have with Justin Fields. We're just going to find a way to get any more touches in the red zone. But what about the other draft picks, Carl? I mean, you know, you've talked about Richie Grant just now starting to scratch the surface. Mayfield has been thrown in through hook or crook because no one else could really get out there and do the job. I know Taquan Graham has been banged. I got to be honest with you. This was a year we needed. I need three starters shooting numbskulls. Yeah. And we didn't exactly get. Remember Frank Darby? Has Frank Darby ever played it down in this team?
He's played a few. Not enough.
I'm being a Weisenheimer, but we love his energy, right?
And I think you were talking about Kyle Pitts in the red zone, right?
Kyle Pitts. And then, yeah. You know, one guy we do like is Okendeji. And again, we're just starting to see a little bit more of him. I just don't know if you looked, maybe because with Dean, and I'm focusing more on the defensive side, enough about Frank Darby.
Okay.
But on the defensive side, because this defense is so freaking complex, we're getting less than impact. And I guess we got spoiled in 16. For all the things I bang on Dimitroff and Quinn, they did nail that draft for the guys who had impact from the jump. That's a rookie class.
Yeah, and you need that with a mix of veterans and
a year
and
like this with this guys. Team, right?
Yeah, you do. You need that. Hey, we're going to talk to Randy Mueller. He was a former general manager. Guys, we'll see what he has to say about some of the things that are going on around the NFL, our team, and more next.
Dan will be fine.
The most important story of the day.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Tomorrow, we will have a full slate of guests, as Mike and I will obviously get the Thursday Thanksgiving Day off, and if you're off, enjoy Friday as well. But we're moving some of our guests around, Mike, so that we can accommodate, including Coach Dooley, and we'll talk to him about Georgia Tech. By the way, you like that number? We're waiting on Randy Mueller to join us here in just a second. You still like that number? That's a
35
big number, man.
Seems a bit. I mean, honestly, as crazy as it sounds to be at Bobby Dodd, sounds a bit low. Now, how many Tech fans? We know that attendance is really down this year. There was that I think it was a Ken Segura article a few weeks back. So I would imagine Georgia fans are going to take over Bobby Dodd and. Georgia doesn't need to make a statement. They're locked in at number one, whether they win by a 14 or 21. But it's hard to see Georgia Tech scoring points, especially coming off that dreadful performance in South Bend, right?
It is. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if that's – That's going to be hard to recover mentally. Mentally. Yeah. Quick turnaround, and now, hey, we're playing the number one team in the country, and they're coming in here to show everybody they're the number one team in the country. I think that's the part that Georgia Tech's going to have to get over. Hey, let's talk to a guy that knows the NFL, knows football, and his name is Randy Mueller.
He joins us. Executive of the Year.
Yes, he is. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Randy, I want to start with what we saw last night and talk about, I don't know if it's dysfunction or if, you know, when you look at the New York Giants and their front office and where that team is, where are they going? Is this just the start after they get rid of Jason Garrett today? I mean, is everybody on notice now?
Well, I would guess not only because
did we lose it?
The last couple of years. So there's going to be some people on notice for sure. I think last night was serving notice to the rest of the world what some of the Giants people or people in New York have seen week in and week out. It just clued in a lot of other people that were, you know, not aware of it. It's partial dysfunction. It's partial not developing players. It's partial questionable personnel moves and team building, all the above. And, you know, I guess Jason Garrett had the hands of really Daniel Jones, Dave Gettleman, everybody. He controlled everybody's fate, and that's been a failure so far. So I guess something had to start to change, and this was the first move, that's for sure.
I know that we spoke about this when it went down, but did you like the Daniel Jones pick, or do you think it was a reach at the time?
Here's the problem I've had with Daniel Jones, and I'll be honest, I thought it was a reach at the time, but I was the national scout for the Chargers at the time, and so I had seen Daniel many times. And I had seen him as a freshman at Duke. I had seen him as a junior at Duke. And then I've seen him two or three times in the pros where I actually sat down and studied a big block of film. Here's the problem. I've seen the same guy forever. He just hasn't, you know, he hasn't gotten over the hump. And you can come up with reasons and excuses and figure out why. But at some point, you've got to get better. You've got to improve. And, yeah, there's been two or three systems, I guess. But he was the same at Duke. I just never saw a guy that got better. I see all the intangibles. I see everything that they liked about him when they picked him. I mean, I think they thought they were getting Eli Manning from David Cutcliffe's, QB farm. But it just hasn't worked out, and he just hasn't gotten better. And at some point, you gotta show. You can't just talk. You gotta show. And I just haven't seen any consistent, you know, growth in the guy. So I think just hard to say, hey, this is the guy. But after 6 years, I think some decisions need to be made.
You're still in tune with what's going on in Seattle. Pete Carroll gave a weird press conference saying he can't stand losing, doesn't know how to deal with it. Is his time running short up there as well?
It's kind of strange, that's for sure. Yes, obviously I follow it closely, living in Seattle and knowing a lot of the combatants, you know. The problem is it just hasn't started now. They've had some, you know, some angst for the last couple of years, and the quarterback's always bailed them out. That's not possible this year, whether it's injury or him getting up there in age, but it's an aging roster. It's just not one that's come together. I think more than anything, though, the biggest problem in Seattle is there's just nobody really above Pete that can ask the hard questions. They've entrusted the franchise to Pete. You know, the front office really works for him. So Pete has all the bells and whistles. He runs the place. And so there's just been nobody that can really challenge him on anything. And frankly, it's hard to have a long-term plan when the coach is 70 years old and you seems like you're patching it together, you know, year in and year out. So they've done a great job, but there's not enough future in line to keep them, you know, battling for a division championship, especially this year. They've just been bypassed by Arizona. I think the Rams have always been there, but even the 49ers have a two-game lead on them now, so.
It's Randy Mueller, guys, our NFL insider and a former GM and executive of the year, as we mentioned, with the Saints, Dolphins as well, joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. We were just talking earlier because Baker Mayfield is basically telling the Cleveland fans they can, you know, pound sand if they don't like him. This should be, in any other year, a new contract that would reset the market at quarterback. What do you do with Baker Mayfield if you're the GM there?
In this case, they've built a system with Kevin Stefanski on offense that's really best served with replaceable parts. We found out that OBJ wasn't, you know, worth what they were going to have to pay him coming up and what they paid him now. The system is different. And I think the quarterback position is almost devalued in that it's a play-action system. I think they can find replaceable parts. They want to run the ball first. And there's nothing wrong with that because the team is better. They're better with Kevin since he's got there. They're better with Andrew Berry. But I just think paying a premium for that position to run this offense might be a mistake. And I guess time will tell. Here's the problem. They don't really have another option. I know Case Keenum's there, and people have said, well, there's not a big fall off. But I think Baker is clearly a better option than Case Keenum. I just know that he's not $20 million a year better. So that's the choice you got to make.
Yeah, it's really a great point. Randy Mueller, our guest, guys, as we're talking about what's going on around the NFL. What about our team, Randy? You know, Terry Fontenot takes this job, and he's got some work to do. He comes in. He's limited with the money he can spend. In your experience, how long does it take in today's NFL to turn things around? Can you go from a 4, 5, 6 win season to the playoffs fairly quickly?
Well, I think you can, but the disadvantage is, and you mentioned it, he was stuck cap-wise. I mean, when I went to the Saints from Seattle, we turned it around in a year, but we make a lot of moves. I'm hopeful that at some point Terry can put his, you know, blueprint on the team by making some moves, by identifying some ascending talent and kind of changing the complexion of what they have. He just wasn't able to do that this year. So, you know, I don't know. It's a tough turnaround if you don't have cap space, because then you just depend on the draft and maybe finding a few young minimum salary guys, but it makes it harder. That's for sure. I'm not familiar with their cap position next year. You guys might be better at that than me. But if they have some cap room, surely they can turn it around. They got to identify the right players. And I think Terry knows what that is. I've known him for a long time. He's a really good guy, and I think he'll do a good job. But he's got to have some room to maneuver to get better roster-wise.
Again, it's Randy Mueller, guys, our NFL insider, former NFL executive with us here on Dukes and Bell. Randy, the problem we're having now is, you know, there's nothing – it's one thing if the fans are upset or angry. The worst thing is when they're indifferent. And we've had a lot of games at a half-empty stadium, and the TV ratings are down a little bit here. And Matt Ryan is – look, we all respect Matt, and it's tough because he can't play defense and block for himself. But he's been the immovable object cap-wise. Have you ever been in a situation where management's leaning on you to make a splash? Because it's almost like – and this isn't a great quarterback draft unless – is there a quarterback you would take, even knowing you're going to have Matt for at least one more year?
Well, I think if there's a way you could get the Pittsburgh kid, Kenny Pickett, I think that's a possible. And that's just my opinion, because I do think he's an NFL quarterback. But for the rest of the crew, no. If you're asking me if I would take one of those guys, from what I've seen to this point, I would not. I think it's hard. I just think that making a splash is one thing, but you've got to build a team. So if you can't do it quarterback-wise, you're going to have to fill in as good as you can around it. Let's face it, they've used some cap dollars and used a lot of capital on drafting offensive linemen, and that group hasn't played well. They've underachieved. When you say the fans are a little indifferent, when I watch the tape, I'm indifferent. So I can feel for them. I hear it. I just don't see any juice, especially on defense. And I love Dean Pease, but he's just limited. He's just trying to bide his time so the offense can maybe put a few points on the board. So he's kind of dying a slow death. But either they're not good enough in the back end to take many risks. So it's a tough battle. It's an uphill battle. Do I think they can do it? Yes. But I think in this case, it may take them a couple years.
Yeah, it just might. Who's your favorite right now as you look around the NFL? I mean, we've had a hard time saying, hey, this team is definitely the team. In the AFC, it's kind of, you know, discombobulated. The Chiefs have looked good at times, the Bills at times. Who's the team that has your eye right now?
Well, I think there's a couple teams that have my eye, but I go back to and ask the question, who can I trust? And you talk about the AFC. Really, for my money right now, and it sounds crazy, the team I trust the most is New England. Isn't that surprising?
Right.
Trust Bill Belichick, you know. What he's been able to do with his roster this offseason, that's the anti-Falcons way, right? They had a bunch of cap room. They were able to jump in because there was a bunch of really good players available, and they upgraded their roster. So I like New England. I think a team to kind of that's sneaky good in the NFC is Philadelphia. You're going to have to watch them a little bit. I happen to think Jalen Hurts is improving and doing the things that can win games from the pocket, and their running game's coming around too. So I think that's kind of a sneaky team, but I really trust really very few teams right now. Like you said, it's been one of those seasons where anybody can beat anybody, as we saw, you know, Houston sneaking up on Tennessee last week. So, you know, for my money, those are the teams. Obviously, Kansas City is to turn your back on, but, you know, it'll be fun to watch. Thanksgiving is always a great measuring point for me. If you're 500 at Thanksgiving, you got a chance. So we'll see how it shakes out the last month.
Yeah, you bring up the – it's like the AFC, just when you try to get it handicapped because of injuries and COVID and all that. I mean, yeah. Buffalo Bills, what's happening with them? Are they going to get it straight? Because, Josh Allen, we thought this was the year they were going to go next level, all the way to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I think they have one of the better rosters. But when I watched the game last week with Indianapolis, and I'm a Josh Allen fan. I loved him coming out. I put a big grade on him as a scout. Same with Carson Wentz. I liked him. But when I watched that game, I thought I was watching – two quarterbacks being operated by drunk carnival guys in the back room under the stadium, you know, because you never knew what was going to come next. Never knew. I mean, though they're capable of making an awesome throw on one play and then throwing one back over the back of their head backwards on the next play. So that just scares me. I do think Buffalo's talented, though, and they should be. They play New England twice in the last little stint of the season here. So those two matchups are going to be giant.
Randy, we got to run. Thank you so much for all the great info. We look forward to visiting with you again. Randy Mueller, guys, former general manager in the NFL and a great source of information. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
You got it. Yeah, as he said, it's just, you know, where's the juice? You know, we knew this year we've got, you know, Grady. I said it to you the other day or last week. We need like three Gradys. We need a clone Grady. I mean, and not from a cap ramification standpoint, we just need three guys of his skill set, right?
I know, man. And he brings up the turnaround and what you have to do. Here's the message. If you're not willing to be patient with our new general manager, then you're in trouble because it's not going to be a quick turnaround. You've got to find some ways to cut in and get some money, Mike. And once that happens and you're able to spend a little bit, then you become an attractive franchise because you can bring in free agency, free agents.
And you know what?
Look at New England. And he said he trusts New England. Mike, they spent the most money in free agency this year than anybody else.
You know what's so funny, though? Kenny Pickett, if you look at his career at Pitt, and now he certainly can pick him up and put him down a little bit better than Matt did coming out of Boston College. But Kenny Pickett is a lot like Matt Ryan coming out of BC.
Yeah.
The guy that stuck there, you know, had to win the job and lost the job and win the job. It's interesting. It really is.
Hey, man, let's get to tonight's game winner, brother.
All right, man. James Franklin got himself a nice contract extension. Everybody, you know, Chuck Smith was talking earlier. It's like, you know, African-American coaches can't get hired, but those that are getting paid, Carl, in the college ranks, Mel Tucker as well. How about this? The coach, you couldn't wait for this coach to go, to leave.
Get out of here.
All right, we'll make it. How about just for college? Because for pros, it's too easy. Too much turnover in the pros. How about only college, okay?
All right, let's do it.
The college coach, you were like, for the love of God, man, go. Go. Don't say anything bad about Ray Goff. He's a nice guy. 404-741-0929. The coach you couldn't wait to show the door.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And the winner is...
Time to take the game winner on Dukes and Bell. Your last chance to sound off on today's show. So don't stink. Call now, 404-741-0929. Today's question...
All right, man, the college coach, you were just like, oh, for the love of God, just retire. Somebody fire this guy. You know, it's a little bit different. Back in the day, you would suffer, and not in silence, but you would suffer for a while because we just didn't have the turnover, Carl, that we have nowadays, right, in college football.
No, that's true, Mike. You know, that's why, like, Joe Paterno, for example, right, we'll never see that again. We're not going to see somebody,
coach
I don't
Bowden,
think.
Right?
Yes. Mike, nobody's staying 30 years anywhere. And whether they wanted to or not, I just don't think you're going to see that. And here's the other thing. The money is so crazy now. Think about what Mel Tucker just is about to sign. So if he stays those 10 years, right, why does he need to stay another 10 unless he wants to? You know, right. $95 million. Now, by the way, we haven't really talked about this, and I'm sure Kirby doesn't want to talk about it, but if they do win the national championship, Georgia is about to give Kirby a lot of money, too. So.
Right, exactly right. And, you know, you wonder about Dabo now. You know, Dabo, some of the people are pulling Dabo away or trying to. You know, when I was at FSU, obviously Coach Bowden, we just talked about it. It goes without saying, he was the greatest to ever dress out. But then at the end, he was too loyal to a fault to Jeff Bowden, who was his offensive coordinator, and basically ruined the program, Carl, because Bobby wouldn't come off it. Even, like, you know, other alum and guys who played, you know, that played for him said, Coach, you got to really jettison the kid. He's not getting the job done. But that's an assistant coach. We're talking head coach. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bud. Head coach, you were like, please, please go away, sir. What do you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I have two real quick, man. I'm a Georgia Tech fan. I was so happy Paul Johnson got on out of there. And Tar Heel basketball, Roy Williams, it was time, man.
Yeah, Roy. I mean, Roy's got two natties, Carl, but I don't know. Just a lot like, you know, Dean, and everyone loves both of them, I guess. But it's just, did you do enough with all the talent you had?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he did. And he had a lot of it. I mean, he had a lot of Kansas, too.
He had a lot of talent, man.
He had a lot of Kansas, you know, so. But Roy's going to go down as one of the best coaches.
I said two. I forgot about 17. Three championships for Roy.
Yeah. He's going to go down as one of the best coaches in the history of college basketball. But that's the thing. You know, I mean, we'll talk about Duke and Coach K when he retires at the end of the year. We'll only be like, he's only got five? I mean, like, you know, all the guys that rolled through there. But these chips are not easy, man. But I'm with you. I'm with you.
Hey, man, college coach, you wish he'd gone sooner. Hey, man, what you got? Hey, man, I know a couple guys already hit us up talking about when Ray Goff was here, and then Goff begot Donnan, and Donnan also kind of followed suit. Didn't do much with all that amazing talent that was coming through Athens back then. Hey, man, you're on the radio, brah. Tonight's game winner is pretty simple. Who is the coach you wish he was gone sooner in college?
Well, that's you.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Willie freaking Taggart.
Yeah, Taggart was, and by the way, Carl, you heard me through this whole process after they moved on from Jimbo. I thought Taggart was going to be such a home run. Lethal simplicity, right? Remember, that's what the offense was dubbed, Carl. Lethal simplicity.
I know.
And then you realize that some programs and some jobs are too big for a guy. He's not ready yet. I just thought an African-American coach with the relationships he was going to develop and the great recruiter in Florida State would just be a winning combination. But it was very apparent to people who watch football that he was so in over his head. And undisciplined team, bad assistant coaches, put a bad staff together, just terrible. And now I'm not sure. I'm not sold that Norvell's going to be the guy, although he is doing some things in the second half of the season, which should maybe make you feel a little bit better. By the way, at Texas, you've gone through a bunch of coaches. Who was the guy that you were so sick of?
Well, it was before I actually got there, and that was David McWilliams, okay? Coach Mack, John Makovic, was there before Mack Brown. McWilliams came in, and he was kind of the guy in the early 90s. He was the guy that when Miami beat Texas in the early 90s, just ran all over them, and, you know, they're pimping in the end zone and all that. That was David McWilliams. That's the kind of stuff that got him fired. Then John Makovic came in, Coach Mack. First Mac, because Mack Brown came in after,
right?
And he was great. And Mack was there in the, you know, from early 90s through like 97 or 8. And then Mack Brown came in and obviously was there for a long time. But that was the guy. But David McWilliams, everybody wanted him gone.
Interesting, man. And now I don't know where it's going to go with Texas, man. I hope Sark's going to be boy.
Well, just think about this. It's going Charlie Strong, Herman, and now Sark. And it might be another guy if things keep going the way they are right now.
Ugly, ugly. Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. A college coach who overstayed is welcome.
Hey there, Carl. Coach Mark Rick here. Hey, I can't wait for Nick Saban to retire. Then we can spread them out and pound them.
Yes. Coach Rick honored a few weeks back, and we all love Mark and a great guy, but yeah, it was a tough spot because Georgia, it was like all relative. You know what I mean, Carl? Well, it was better than Goff. It was better than Donnan, but it still never got. 2012 to me, 2007 and 2012 were the two national championship caliber teams for Mark Richt.
No doubt. And he should have won them, Mike. I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, I'm making no excuses. I think ultimately that's what got him fired.
Yep. Hey, man, you're on the radio, brah. As well, there's a landscape of college football, and it's changing by the second. So who's a coach you should have gotten sooner? What you got?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
So first caller kind of stole my thunder as a fellow Tech fan, and Jeff Collins is quickly rising up this list. But I'm going to be honest with you. I wanted Paul Johnson fired at his opening press conference. I was never a fan of the man or the hire. And he set our program back, and part of Jeff Collins' problems are because he still has Paul Johnson's players.
Well, yeah, a couple, but he did turn over a ton of that roster, but I'm with you. I know what you're saying. I know that, but this goes back, I know, real quick sidebar, but this is the debate we always get into about GT, Carl. What is the expectation? If I can go to a bowl game like an Orange Bowl every 5 or 6 years, is that good enough? And some people say, no, that should not be what you aspire to. You should be aspiring to go to a national championship.
You should be.
But then, counter argument, when you are the Stanford or Northwestern of the ACC, is that as good as it gets? I know some people make the academic argument. Some say academic, schmacademic, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's never a problem when you see other schools with the same or similar curriculum or academic standards, I'll say, as Georgia Tech, because it is somewhat different than other schools. But you can't use that as an excuse. Actually, I think, Mike, that's a selling point. I'll be honest with you. Because you know what? You're going to come here, and when you leave, you'll work wherever you want.
Right.
For the rest of your life. You're going to be fine. And I think that's a selling point. But this idea that kids don't want to go because those kids that are going to go to the NFL want to be 1 or 2 years in college football, they're going to be wherever they want to be anyway. So
if you get a Calvin Johnson, a Bebe Thomas, a Zach, there's guys that have gone, Keith Brooking, there's a bunch of dudes that have gone through. You got time for one more, Chris? Hey, man, you're on the radio, bro. Hey, college coach, you should have gone sooner.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I don't know about retired, but I know one college school that didn't want to hire Lane Kiffin, Tennessee.
Yeah. Well, they were upset when he was gone. They're still upset. They're throwing stuff at him when he was back there with Ole Miss, Carl.
Yeah, I know. Listen, Kiffin, Mike, he's going to get another shot. He's going to get another opportunity to go somewhere else.
It may happen this year.
Yeah, and whether it's Miami or somewhere else, we'll see how that all shakes out. Great job, guys. Appreciate the phone calls. Let's get out of here and clear our throat.
Dukes and Bell are wrapping up another show, so it's time for
Let Me Clear My Throat
on Sports Radio 92.9. The Game.
Hey, thanks to all of our guests that stopped by today, and we had quite a few, including Chuck Smith, who got the show started, Mike. A lot of people, I don't want to talk about this, but if you're interested, go listen at Odyssey.com as he talks about the retreads in college football. He doesn't like the way things are going. Pretty interesting stuff from Chuck. Also, thanks to our man who came on later in the show. That's Steve Weiss from the NFL Network. We also had in the 6 o'clock hour, that was Randy Mueller, former general manager. So go check out all those interviews, guys. Tomorrow, Darren Hills is going to stop by. Some of our regulars, including Coach Vince Dooley, because we're going to move some guys around, and we'll have Coach Arthur Smith on as well tomorrow. So we'll have a lot going on tomorrow as we get ready for Thanksgiving. Chris, great job, and happy birthday, and enjoy the rest of your week. I know you're off, and we're glad that you're here, bro. I know it's been a year since you got here. We're glad you're here. You continue to do a great job and make this show sound great. So, Turtle, happy birthday to you. Bo Morgan, executive producing, and Mike Bell, let's get out of here. Clear your throat.
Hey, man, we're just talking about coaches who overstepped or overstook their welcome. How about names like Mike Dubose, Dennis Franchione, Mike Price?
Yes.
Mike Schill, of course, Price is only there until it was rolling. It's only about one preseason he got. What do they have in common? They were all Alabama coaches between Gene Stallings and Nick Saban. And the man who covered them all just passed away. And a guy that we've had on the show a number of times, Cecil Hurt. He wrote for the Tuscaloosa News for almost 4 decades, Carl. He had gotten ill lately, a lengthy battle with the illness, 62. And I had a great line from Tony Bonhart. He said, the highest professional compliment you can give a guy who writes like Cecil Hurt is that he was the writer that the other writers always read when it came to, you know, covering Bama. So good stuff. And Cecil Hurt was a good friend of our show. And rest in peace.
Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that because that's where I was going with this.
Oh, sorry, brother. I'm going to steal your thunder.
No, you're fine, bro. I'm fine. He was just a great guy. And I got word earlier this afternoon. Bo actually hit me. I did not see this. And he was a great friend. Always answered the call, always had, you know, answers for things that I was curious about. And if you talk to young journalists who wanted to be mentored, he always helped them. And I think that's part of his legacy as well. Yeah. Rest in peace, man. Cecil Hurt. All right. We're coming back tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Make sure you're here. Hey, if you love this show,
you tell your friends.
If you don't.
Minnesota Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer just stole your girl.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.